let me just talk about wine for a minute, or alcohol in general, a word about alcohol, a word about wine, because this is, we see in the Bible, the purpose for alcohol is joy and also for someone suffering, to relieve that pain. You see a medicinal purpose, you see joy at a wedding or different things. And obviously, the church's position has always been, you can't find a scriptural support for abstinence completely. You know, that you can't have anything. But you find a lot of warnings on consuming too much. And in our culture, I think we've drifted way over to this side. This whole discussion, you'll see articles written about wine in the church and alcohol and different things. It's taken on a whole new it's really taken on a whole new look, because it's everywhere. It's readily accessible. In Jesus' time, it was not. And I just want to say a quick word on that. The person who consumes alcohol walks a very fine line between freedom and sin, responsibility and carelessness, liberty and abuse. What I mean by that is, yes, it might be, there might be a freedom in that, but that freedom can tilt real quick. When one turns to three, it just became a sin. Or one to four, whatever that. So you're walking this line. And I've noticed that this discussion really isn't about having a drink now and then. I mean, people who do that know it's not an issue. They don't even remember when the last one was a couple months ago. It's the person who it's at every function, the baby shower, the baby party, the potluck, the church function, there's church Bible study. It's everywhere. Everything is surrounded around it. You might want to have a problem. If everything's, that's not liberty. That's abuse. And a lot of Christians, they're hiding in that cloak of liberty. Well, it's every single function. You're going out of your way to have it. That's addiction. It's not a liberty. So be careful in this area, because it can slip from freedom to sin. It can slip from responsibility to carelessness and liberty to abuse. Proverbs says this about wine. Wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. So you can mock. This is self-inflicted mocking. When a person takes too much, and strong drink is a mocker, it will mock you. You will mock yourself, basically. So what I'm trying to say, it would take a whole sermon to say it probably, is yes, there's liberty there, and those people who exercise liberty know who they are. There's no issues there. But it's this other group who likes to flirt with disaster. They like to think they can have three every night and think it's just a liberty. No, it's called an addiction. If there's a reliance on it, and it always needs to be every, and I have friends at other churches. I mean, it's at every potluck, every baby shower, every kids event, every function, it's at garage sales, for the love of God. That's a problem. But you know, I have a liberty. You can't say anything to me. Oh yeah, when you want a drink at 7 a.m. at a garage sale, that's a problem. You might have not lost your job yet, but. So it's not a liberty. But see how many people hide behind the liberty? Yeah. They hide behind, oh, it's a liberty. You better look at how liberty is defined. I like what Pastor John MacArthur said. It is irresponsible for any pastor to encourage the recreational use of alcohol, especially in church-sponsored activities. The ravages of alcoholism and drug abuse in our culture are too well known, and no symbol of sin's bondage is more seductive or more oppressive than booze. So yes, there's a liberty there, and you know who I'm talking about. If you have one once in a while, there's scriptural support for that. But don't post it on Facebook. I mean, I go on Facebook and there's like a big 24-ounce IPA L beer, and the person's like, "I'm enjoying it." I'm like, "I sure wish I was too." See, that's my flesh wants that, and you're enticing by Facebook. You have 500 friends. How many of those friends are struggling? You're putting on the very thing that they're struggling with. We don't need to see you having a 30-ounce margarita at the beach. That's abusing your liberty, and that's actually mocking liberty. Person who enjoys one in the quietness of their home, you don't have to go shout it out to the world, because you're flaunting your liberty. And it drives me crazy. It's always on Facebook, right? Do I need to know you're drinking 2 Coronas and watching the football game? No, I don't. But people see, look at my liberty. Look at my liberty. It's in your face. It's in your face. Ha, ha, ha. I can and you can't. So just be careful. Because that's where you can walk that fine line. This is interesting too. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Because people say, well, Jesus had wine at a wedding. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. This cannot be said of those who consume alcohol regularly. What is the fruit of today's preoccupation with alcohol? Conversations often turn away from God if they were ever there to begin with. We begin to compromise our time and interest. We'd rather head to Vegas than a prayer meeting. And on this note, those that I know, my age, a little bit younger, different churches too, that where alcohol is at a lot of events, and I'll say this lovingly, but I'll say it firmly, they are not filled with the Spirit of God. They are not in prayer meetings. They are not in their word. They are not broken before the Lord. They are not worshiping because that other spirit has taken control and is leading them in a different direction. I know people that actually own breathalyzers to make sure they don't quite cross that line. That just screams problem. That just, you might as well just put big problem over the front of your door. That's what that tells me. So, but see, we hide. See, it's always, but I have liberty. The Bible says. Just because you're not drunk, losing your job doesn't mean it's not a sin. Anytime, Shane, how do I know? As soon as you cross over from, this feels really good, I'm going to have more, now I feel really good, and now I'm kind of, not filled with the Spirit, I'm drunk with intoxicating spirits, you've crossed that line. Anytime you begin to lose that moral compass and you begin to sway over, be careful. That's why I mentioned it's like walking a fine line, isn't it? There's a pastor friend of mine. He's a mentor. He's a little bit older, and he, as far as I know, enjoys one every now and then, maybe every couple months. And I go, I said, now after the one is over, do you ever feel like grabbing another one? He says, yeah, I just don't. I'm like, well, but see, that's good for him. He's got good self-discipline. But for most people, with the one becomes five. Or four, or six, or whatever it is, and that's just the gateway. See, any alcoholic will tell you that none is much harder than one. Having none is much easier than having just one, because that one sets the trigger and it actually opens the door. If you ever wonder why they're called spirits, because one or the other is guiding you, the Holy Spirit, or we open ourselves up to other spirits. Now, people, again, who have this liberty and they exercise it well, and they'll fall in line with this. They'll probably agree with this. But I'm talking to those who Peter would say, you hide your liberty as an excuse for a vice to continue in sin. So what's the key? Be honest. How much do you drink? Is it really one? Do you often plan activities around alcohol? Kids' parties, Bible studies, potlucks? Do you often argue and try to justify your position? Paul said that we should not become a slave to anything. And have you ever wondered why craft beers, that have become real popular now, become bigger and higher alcohol content? People tell me, I just had one. Yeah, but it's a pint and a half and it's 10% alcohol. You just had the equivalent to five regular beers. No one. Yeah, you just had one. I mean, so be careful, because we justify, don't we? I just had one. It's a big one. So this, I just threw that in there for this whole thing while we're on the subject of wine with Jesus. That was the point, to dull his senses. And that's why many people, indulge in that area. And many of you know my past with it. And if I started, going in that direction again, that would be the reason to just mellow out, to just relax. But now they have herbal tea that will do it. Forget the name of it. It will come to me in just a minute. Valerian root. There you go. And there's herbal areas. And no, don't worry. I'm not hooked on herbal teas. So confess it to others, bring it to the light so sin loses its power. So in something like this, if there's a problem, it's okay to go to somebody and say, listen, I have a problem in this area. Can you help me? And that exposes the sin. Expose it, brings it to the light. And people are like, oh, I'm so ashamed. I have this problem. Say, listen, I've heard everything. I know everybody in this room is dealing with something. It's either tremendous anger, tremendous jealousy, bitterness. You can't undo, you're just so jealous and bitter and envious of others. You're dealing with an addiction. Maybe it's called Oxycontin. Maybe it's called, what's the other one, Xanax. Maybe it's called, the craft beers. Maybe it's called wine. Maybe it's called tequila. Maybe it's called pornography. I mean, there's something where the enemy goes in. So I don't look at people like this perfect saint. I know everybody has some issue where the enemy will come in and begin to work in that issue. So bring it to the light. It's very, very, actually Satan loses his grip. If you go to somebody and say, listen, we'll take what we just talked about. I think I've been drinking too much. It fell into this pattern. I fell into this habit. And would you just keep me accountable? Would you pray for me and ask me next week? Man, you talk about losing its power. That's the first step. And it's funny, I spoke, many of you know, at a memorial last week, and somebody who found healing through recovery, I don't know if it was AA, and I went through the first couple, six steps. Every single step is biblical. Admit that you are powerless over alcohol. That's called repentance. Admit that you need God. There's a higher power. Let's call him the God of the Bible, the one true and living God. Admit your complete reliance on him. That's called confession and repentance. Admit that you cannot conquer this by yourself. That's dependence and repentance. Everything is linked in biblical principles that is successful. So I tell people, great, you've got your sobriety, but you're on the way to hell. What's the point of that? You have to name it, because it just bugs me when they say God as you understand him, right? Well, that can be the table over there. My higher power, this little, I carry him right here in my pocket. That's not God. That's mocking God.